जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Kishor Kishori Jaya Jagatnatha Jagatnatha Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवादक आचार्य श्रुतशत श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिला प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवादक आचार्य श्रुतशत श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज शिला प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरेत् नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text Number 23. Yatham Bhasya प्रचलता तर्वो अपि चला इव चक्षुषा ब्रह्मयानेन दृष्टयते चलति वा भू यथं भाषा प्रचलता त्रवो अपि चलैव चक्षुषा ब्रह्मयानेन दृश्यते चलति वा बहु यथां भाषा प्रचलता त्रवो अपि चलैव चक्षुषा ब्रह्मां नानेना दृश्यते चलति वा भू यथा मा भाषा प्रचलता त्रवो अपि चलैव चक्षुषा ब्रह्मै मां नेना दृश्यते चलति वा भू यथं भाषा प्रचलता त्रवो अपि चलैव चक्षुषा भ्रमयां ज्ञानेन दृश्यते चलति वा भू यथं भाषा प्रचलता त्रवो अपि चलैव चक्षुषा ब्राह्म्यामेन दृश्यते चलति वा भू यथं भाषा प्रचलता त्रवो अपि चलैव चक्षुषा ब्रह्मयानेन दृश्यते चलति वा भू यथा जस्ट एज अम्भषा बाय वाटर प्रचलता मूविंग तरवः द ट्रीज ऑन द बैंक ऑफ द रिवर Api, also, chala, moving, eva, as if, chakshusha, by the eye, brahyam manina, moving, drishyate, is seen, chalati, moving, eva, as if, bhuhu, the ground. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because of the movements of the water, the trees on the bank of a river, when reflected on the water, seem to move. Similarly, when the eyes move because of some mental derangement, the land appears to move also. Purport. Sometimes, because of mental derangement, the land appears to be moving. A drunkard, for example, or a person with heart disease sometimes feels that the land is moving. Similarly, the reflections of trees in a flowing river also appear to move. These are the actions of Maya. Actually, the living entity does not move. Sthanur achalo yam. The living entity does not take birth or accept death. But because of the transient, subtle, and gross bodies, the living entity appears to move from one place to another or be dead and gone forever. As the great Bengali Vaishnava poet Jagdananda Pandita has said, Pishachi paileyena mati channa haya maya grishta jivera haya se bhava udaya. According to this statement from Prema Vivarat, when a living entity is conditioned by material nature, he is exactly like a person haunted by a ghost. One should therefore understand the fixed position of the spirit soul and how he is carried away by the waves of material nature to different bodies and different situations under limitation and hankering. One achieves the success of life when he understands the constitutional position of his self and is undisturbed by the conditions created by material nature. Prakritera kriyamanani gune karmani sarvesha. This is from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 27. Om agyan timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Thank you so much for being here this morning, in spite of not such nice weather. In the beginning, I would like to seek blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here, so that I could say something meaningful to you. You have been hearing some very learned people, and I hope I can say something which will be useful for all of us. The title of this particular chapter is very interesting. That is Hiranyakashipu, King of Demons. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is generally talking about Krishna and the exalted devotees of Krishna. But here we are talking about demon, and also not only an ordinary demon, but the King of Demons. So, Hiranyakashipu is not an ordinary person or ordinary demon. He is like a super demon, and he finds a special place in all our, you know, classes, our scriptures, our discussions. Why is it so? Because he is father of Prahlad Maharaj. That's one reason. And there are several other reasons. He is very, very knowledgeable. He has advanced knowledge of all the scriptures. Then he talks about, the knowledge, when he's talking to his family members, his mother, sister-in-law, and nephews, one could see as if we are reading something which is mentioned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita or in other scriptures. And what else? One of the very, very important reasons is that Lord Narsingdev appeared because of him. So we owe it to Hiranyakashipu that Lord Narsing appeared in this universe for killing him and for the benefit of all the devotees. So there are a couple of important things in this chapter when we go through it. The scene is that Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, has been killed by Lord Vishnu, and all the family members are grieving. So Hiranyakashipu, being the head of the family and also the kings of the demons, he is pacifying and consoling his mother, sister-in-law, and his nephews. While he is speaking to them, he speaks very eloquently. If one doesn't read the title of this particular chapter and just reads the text, one will be thinking, oh, here is a super devotee. Because the kind of knowledge which he has, not many people have. But there is a big flaw in that knowledge. It is just the knowledge. It's like collecting zeros. So he has learned so much. He has so many zeros, but there is nothing in front of those zeros. And if we put one in front of those zeros, then of course all those zeros will be so much more meaningful. And that one is missing in the perspective of Hiranyakashipu, and that one is Lord Krishna. So in spite of having all the knowledge, what is missing is devotion to Vishnu. And without that, all the knowledge is of no use. This is in several other instances and examples, we have seen that. For example, we can say in Sri Rangam, when Lord Chaitanya visited there, he came across a lot of very, very accomplished Brahmins, knowledgeable scholars. They had complete knowledge of the scriptures. They would recite the shlokas perfectly and so on. But they did not impress Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much. What caught his eye was a very, very simple, illiterate Brahmin who had a Bhagavad Gita with him. He was carrying that Bhagavad Gita. He didn't even know how to read it properly, but still he was always attempting to read it and pretending as if he's going through it. He will, you know, look at Bhagavad Gita, he will cry, and then he will again try to read something and he will cry. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering, you know, what's happening. So he asked that Brahmin that, you know, I have seen you for several days reading this book, and every time you, what is the message you get out of this book which makes you cry? So he said, Maharaj, I am illiterate person. I cannot read this book. But I was told that Krishna is so kind that he acts as servants of his devotees. So that is the message, you know, which I have got this from this book, and that's what, you know, brings tears in my eyes. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very happy to hear this from him and said, you are one person who has really got the essence of Bhagavad Gita, the main message which Bhagavad Gita gives. There are several other examples of similar nature. Another very important one is of gopis. So gopis were not all very exalted scholars. They didn't know the scriptures as such, but they had unalloyed devotion for Krishna. Their love for Krishna was totally pure and uncontaminated. So, and that's the reason why they were so dear to Krishna. So knowledge, having knowledge is nice, but just knowledge alone is not enough. We have to practice knowledge in the right way in service of Krishna. Then only that knowledge is worthwhile. So same goes here for our friend Hiranyakashipu, that he has so much of knowledge. He is talking to his family members, giving them, quoting from scriptures, giving them all the information. And still, in his heart, he had so much of envy for Lord Vishnu. So even while he's instructing his family members not to get disheartened or not to lament on the death of Hiranyaksha, because soul is permanent and so on and so forth, he himself is building that grudge and finding ways and means how to kill Lord Vishnu. He had lot of mystic powers, and that he had gained by virtue of all the austerities he had undergone. So again, I was just thinking when I was preparing that he underwent so many austerities for such a long period of time, and still he was not able to develop love for Krishna. So that is the unfortunate part for him. His own son, who was born in the family of demons, but still he had so much of... He only thought of Krishna and nothing else. You know, all his life, Prahlad Maharaj thought only of Krishna and how to serve him, how to please him, and nothing else. And in spite of that, Hiranyakashipu was not able to learn anything as such. So that is his misfortune. So when we move further, we find that there are several such learned people in our history who had complete knowledge of scriptures, but because they were not favorably thinking of Krishna, they were totally, you know, they had demonic mentality and demonic personality. Raman, for example, was another very, very learned Brahman. He was so qualified that when Lord Rama injured him, he was almost ready to leave his body. Lord Ram instructed Lakshman to go to Raman and take instructions from him. He was so qualified. But look at it, just because of his relationship with Krishna was not there, his unfavorable thoughts and feelings for Lord Vishnu, he committed so many sins and eventually he was killed by the Lord. Now, we hear on a number of occasions that the Lord reciprocates the way you approach him. So these personalities like Hiranyakashipu, Raman, Kansa, they always thought of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it is said that some of them thought more than the devotees think of the Lord. But just because their way of thinking was not favorable, that cannot be called bhakti. But Lord has been so kind to all of them that he took personal care of them. And what happens in such situation? That even though all their lives they had never been engaged in devotional service to Vishnu or Krishna, still because Lord was the instrument to kill them, they still get liberation. But they get a liberation which is of inferior nature. There are five type of muktis or liberation. And the one which the demons get is Sayujya Mukti. It is the mukti or liberation in which one merges into Brahman or the effulgence of the Lord. So there are other four types which are superior. Are you familiar with them? So I can just repeat for everybody's benefit and maybe my own benefit. The first one is Salokya. Salokya is where one gains residence of one of the Vaikuntha planets. So you live with the Lord. And next one is Sharsti, where one acquires the same opulences as the Lord. Then we have Sarupya, where the liberated soul acquires the same body as of the Lord, which is like four-armed form. And the other fourth one or the fifth one is Samipya. Samipya means closeness. So these are the people who become personal associate of the Lord. And the last one, which we mentioned in the beginning, is Sayujya, which that's the mukti or the liberation which all these demons get. So why they are not able to see the importance of worshipping Lord Vishnu or accepting Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That's all because of illusion. Prabhupada talks here in the purport that these are the actions of Maya. So Maya makes us do things which we cannot even imagine. So Prabhupada gives so many examples where he says, until and unless we engage our mind in service of Krishna, Maya is going to control it. And when Maya controls it, we will do nothing except sinful activities. we think that we are, you know, a very, very powerful person. We are the enjoyer. And whatever is there in this universe or on this planet is for our enjoyment. And we hear so much about it, but the interesting thing is that we start to believe it, that yes, all these things around are for my enjoyment. And that's where we start, we engage ourselves more and more in sinful activities. And as a result, instead of coming closer to Krishna, we start going further and further. So Prabhupada says in one of his classes that the idle mind is the mind of is a devil's workshop. That means the kind of ideas and thoughts which will come in that mind will be all basically useless or sinful. So we have to, our intelligence which Krishna has provided us has to keep a very good control on the mind and always remain thoughtful and engaged in service of Krishna. And it is not very difficult to come closer to Krishna. It is said that if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 100 steps towards you. And another very, very interesting thing is when we approach Krishna, or when we offer something to Krishna, Krishna doesn't really see what you are actually offering. Krishna is interested to know the feelings with which you are offering. So that is where the most important thing comes. I gave the example of gopis. As I said, gopis were not very, very learned, but because the feelings with which they approached Krishna were so pure that they were able to win the unquestioned love from Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that gopis are the topmost devotees of Krishna, just because they had nothing but Krishna in their heart, pure feelings towards Krishna. So, towards the end of purport, Prabhupada says, one achieves the success of life when he understands the constitutional position of his self and is undisturbed by the conditions created by material nature. And then he's referring to Bhagavad Gita, text number 27 of chapter 3. I will just go there, where Prabhupada says, or Krishna says, the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. And he says in purport, I think I lost it. But Krishna says that because of Maya, because of the living under the influence of illusory energy of the Lord, we feel that we are the doer. Or in other words, the soul, depending on whatever type of body it has acquired, it starts acting like that. So when it's in body of an animal, for example, the soul acts that way. Prabhupada gives the example that if it's in the body of a hog, it will be looking for stool everywhere. If it is in body of a tiger, it will be just hunting in the forest. So these are the kind of qualities which the soul automatically acquires by virtue of being in a particular body. Now, human body is the only opportunity where the qualities which we are acquiring, we can question them or we can discern whether we should, in which direction we should go. Why it is so? Because only human being have been given intelligence to differentiate. And if we do not take this opportunity to differentiate between what is the right path, whether I should do this or that, then we will be, if we don't take that opportunity, then we'll be always and be in the cycle of birth and death. And what that means is that we'll be always in this cycle of sufferings. In the material world, Prabhupada says there is no happiness as such. It was part of my presentation on Sunday also. Krishna says that, Prabhupada says that, padam padam yat vipadam. On each step in this material world, there are difficulties and problems. But yet, we are so much influenced by Maya that we feel, oh, you know, there is no better place than this earth. There is no better thing to do than enjoying here on this planet. And as a result, we are engaging ourselves more and more in sinful activities, getting deeper and deeper into ignorance, until and unless we take the instructions of our acharyas seriously, we take the association of devotees and chant Hare Krishna, there is no other way to get out. Prabhupada has made it so easy actually for us. First of all, Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that the living entities in Kali Yuga do not have those skills or intelligence to connect with Krishna in by observing the methods they used to do in the other yugas, he gave us simply chant the holy name of the Lord. It is so simple. In previous yugas, people used to do so many sacrifices, so much of, and they used to last for years. It was not like, you know, a few hours you are able to do a sacrifice and then you are done. And the difficult part is in those sacrifices that if you make one mistake, then, or if when you are chanting the mantras, you make one mistake, and the results could be totally different than what you were doing those sacrifices for her. You were doing those sacrifices. In case of Mahamantra, it is not so. You just have to chant. There cannot be a simple mantra than this. And if we still do not take that opportunity, then I guess there is no other way. There is no easier way than that. Then we are getting the opportunity of association of devotees. Prabhupada made our schedule such that, okay, let me ask you one question. We have Mahamantra, and there is one more mantra, which is supposed to be the essence of all Krishna consciousness. What is that? Oh, yes. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So, Prabhupada has made our, you know, schedule such that we will always remember Krishna. You know, we get up in the morning, we come for Mangalarti, then we have the opportunity to chant with other devotees, we have Guru Puja, we are having prasadam, after that breakfast prasadam, still thinking of Krishna. Then we get engaged in other services. Brahmacharis go for book distribution, or there are other activities in the temple or outside temple. Matajis are cooking. They are cooking for Krishna. There are pujaris who are serving Krishna. Somebody is, you know, engaged in fixing things in temple. Somebody is cleaning the temple. So much is there which will always keep us remembering Krishna. So it is so easy. If we just follow instructions of Prabhupada, will not go wrong. We'll be always remembering Krishna. Only thing is we have to recognize it and take it seriously. So I would like to stop here. If there are any questions, I will ask Jagadanda Prabhu to answer them. Yes, Prabhu. I will try, but yes, I think Krishna Nam Prabhu has a question.
Sometimes Prabhu, we're doing some services, but our consciousness is not fixed on remembering Krishna and doing the service to satisfy Krishna. Even for me, most of the time, I just do it mechanically. Can you say how I can get to this point, to this level, when I think of Krishna, when I do some service, and my mood is to satisfy Him?
Yes. See, what I have heard is that there are several ways of pleasing Krishna or serving Krishna. We have those 9 processes where we can follow and serve Krishna. But in addition to that, any service which is being provided to us by the authorities, they will be pleasing for Krishna. Anything which we do to please our spiritual master, on the instruction of spiritual master or instruction of the authorities, will be pleasing for Krishna. Now, sometimes I can see how I used to look at things. Sometimes we have preference for certain services, and certain services we do not like. So, and that's when these feelings come, I feel. Because if there is something which you like and you are asked to do that, obviously you will do it very, very willingly, and you will be in the right frame of mind. Your consciousness will also be very, very favorable. It is when we get some service which we do not like, then we have those negative feelings in the mind. You know, you don't like to do that, but still, because senior devotee has asked you to do it, you are doing it. And, you know, we have some hard feelings in our heart. So we have to constantly remind ourselves that whatever I am being asked to do is going to please Krishna, whether I like it or not. If my spiritual master is asking me to do something, if the temple authorities are asking me to do something, that's what is the real service. What I want to do on my own is not a real service. It is good to do that. It is called dovetailing. It is good to do that also, but the real service is when you have been asked a particular task to be done by the temple authorities. So we have to constantly remind ourselves that, yes, I'm doing it for Krishna's pleasure. I'm doing it on instruction of my spiritual master. I'm doing it to please my spiritual master. And slowly, our consciousness will change. Also, one another thing which I feel is that everybody doesn't get the opportunity to serve Krishna. That's very, very rare again. We have been very, very fortunate. You know, example, there are hundreds of people just around this building. They do not come in the temple to cook. They do not help any one of us in all the chores which we are doing here. So it is only a very, very special category of people who get the opportunity to serve Krishna, and we are one of them. So we should be really very, very happy that we are getting this opportunity. Yes, Jitendra Prabhu.
I think I heard Srila Prabhupada would ask the disciple, what would you like to do for Krishna? Mm-hmm. And that would be considered, you know, karma yoga. And then when you come to a higher level, it's what he wants you to do for Krishna. Yes. Did you ever discern that? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, that just came to mind, you know.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
It's interesting, you know. I heard once John F. Kennedy, JFK's speech, which was very, very popular, the words he said. Just do not ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. So if we ask what I can do for Krishna, that will change our consciousness, rather than always asking what Krishna can do for me. Normally, we have people coming in the temple, and some of us also, you know, we have a big list of demands that Krishna, can you do this for me? Krishna, can you do that for me? And so on. And never once we think what I will be able to do for Krishna. So if we reverse our thought process and think that, you know, it is what I could do for Krishna, it is definitely going to help us in the longer run.
He says, without reservation.
Yes. Prabhupada made it so easy. He says, you know, the difference between the temple and people living next door, what is there? There's not much difference. They are engaging in the similar activities. We are also engaging in the similar activities. He says, they are cooking, we are also cooking. They are eating, we are also eating. They go out for their jobs, we also go out for book distribution. So the difference is that what they are doing is for their material gains, for their sense enjoyment. And what we are doing is for Krishna's enjoyment. That is what differentiates a devotee from a non-devotee. What we are trying to do is for Krishna's pleasure.
Prabhupada said you just have to change the account.
Yes.
Change the account.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Himanshu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your nice class. I remember one thing Jajan Prabhu was sharing with us in class the other day about how whenever you get a service from any authority figure, you should think this is coming directly from the Lord. This is how Krishna wants to actually engage me. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate your point about doing how our authorities engage us. At the same time, I was thinking of one particular section in Nectar of Devotion. This is from chapter 16. And over here, Prabhupada says, according to the regulative principles, there are 9 departmental activities as described above, like you were saying, hearing, chanting, like that. And one should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service for which he has a natural aptitude. For example, one person may have a particular interest in hearing, another may have a particular interest in chanting, another may have a particular interest in serving in the temple. So these, or any of the other 6 different types of devotional service, remembering, serving, praying, engaging in some particular service, being in a friendly relationship, or offering everything in one's possession, should be executed in full earnestness. In this way, everyone should act according to his particular taste. So I don't know, I don't know what to make of that statement, because when I read it also, I was thinking like you were saying, that, you know, the real service is what's been given to us versus what we have an aptitude for. And this statement seems to contradict that, or maybe it doesn't. I'm just not thinking about it deeply enough.
Yes.
So I wonder if you could add some reflections.
Yeah. See, my understanding of this is that it is also for the temple authorities to, before they assign a service to a particular person, to know his skills and capabilities. For example, I cannot cut, you know, a tomato. And if I'm asked to cook in the kitchen, there'll be a big mess. So same way, if you know, Jitendra Prabhu has his skills, all of us have some skills in which we specialize. So then it is for the authorities to use our skills in a proper way. But at the same time, we shouldn't get attached to a particular type of service, because there are instances in our devotional life where we will be asked to do things which we do not know at all. Because if we look at the history, so many temples, you know, were started or opened by devotees who had no experience of opening the temples. You know, they were, I heard a story that there was a highly qualified law graduate from one of the Ivy League law schools. I think it is Harvard or Yale. And after completing his law degree, he went to France for on scholarship. And as it happened, in the beginning of his training there, he visited ISKCON temple, and he was talking to some devotees there. And, you know, he was asking questions and discussing with them. And the devotees said that, you know, I cannot answer all your questions. You can come tomorrow. Our spiritual master will be here and you can discuss with him. And the spiritual master was Prabhupada. So he comes there and he talks to Prabhupada and he gives up everything. He gives up everything. And Prabhupada tells him, you go to Austria and start a temple there. So just, you know, he had gone from US after studying law to France to get even, you know, higher degree. And then he gave up everything and goes to... And he didn't know. He didn't, you know, like he was just... He had just entered the temple door. You can see he had just taken one step in the door. And he didn't know what was going on. And he's been given that service. So this is exactly, you know, sometimes when a service is being given to us, we are getting the empowerment also if it is coming through the right sources. So thank you so much for tolerating me. This was my first attempt, so I hope I didn't disappoint you. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.